This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The issue of anger is one that the Quran and the Hadith and the companions and the predecessors all deal with. Like, for instance, in the Quran, where it mentions that a very famous verse, a very important one on this issue, which is that وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, the ones who are able to suppress, actually. كَاظِمِين, كَاظِم is suppression. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, the ones who are able to suppress their anger and pardon the people. Now, you'll find that this kind of connection between suppressing one's anger and pardoning the people is kind of a line of reasoning which runs through the Quran. For instance, in Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, that when they get angry, they forgive. Why? Because anger is a very volatile emotion. It's within the intuitive interest, the carnal, bestial, savage interest of the individual at that time, the brutish interest, yes, to go ahead and inflict cost and harm on an individual, the object of anger. So what the Quran proposes here is that if the high-level people, because this is referring to the muhsineen, the high-level people, the top believers, are the ones who are able to control one of the most volatile human emotions, which is anger. Yes, at that time, they do the counterintuitive thing, where they want to, at that time, exact anger on an individual. They do the opposite thing exactly. Now, this is apex spirituality. This is the top level thing you can imagine. So the Quran, how it deals with the matter. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us many different advices. But one of them is really interesting. I mean, when he's mentioning the true believer, he says, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ وَإِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبُ. This is narrated in Imam Ahmad's kitab, Musnad Ahmad. That actually the strong one is not the one who can wrestle well, but the strong one is the one who can control himself at the times of anger. Meaning what? True strength is self-control. Because in reality, self-control and mental resilience is a prerequisite for any physical endeavor, not the vice versa. You need to have mental resilience and self-control if you are to engage in any sport or physical activity. But you don't need a physical ability to engage in the mental self-grappling, if you like. So it's a prerequisite. If you are able to control your anger, then for those who are engaging in all kinds of sports, this actually will help you in sports. As the saying goes, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. But for that to happen, you need to get tough. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran is telling us of means to nourish and develop this mental resilience. Yes. And the Prophet gives us many practical pieces of advice. For example, لا تغضب, don't get angry. And if you're standing, then sit. If you're sitting, then lay down. Like, change, distract yourself, really. And Al-Ghazali has a very interesting, we've spoken about some of his analogies in another video. He has an entire chapter dedicated to anger in Ihya Ulumuddin, Kitab al-Dhamm al-Ghadabi wal-Hiqd wal-Hasad, that the book of the dispraise of anger and envy, well, Hiqd is more resentment, and Hasad is envy. A whole chapter dealing with the matter. And he starts off by talking about anger as like a fleek of fire, which afflicts the lowest part of the heart. It's like rubbing of iron against stone, he mentions. Yes. And then, of course, he mentions all the hadith and ayat that we've mentioned as well. The main thing that he's mentioning here is that anger is the enemy of intellect. But not all anger is bad. And we've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. Ash-Shafi'i mentions that someone who doesn't get angry at all is like a donkey. He said that وَمَنِ اسْتُغْضِبَ وَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارِ. Whoever is made to be angry and doesn't get angry is like a himar, it's a donkey. Because if you see a donkey, yeah, you'll realize that whatever you do with a donkey, it doesn't care. It's indifferent, apathetic. Human beings are not meant to be like that, actually. That's not a natural way of being. If you see injustices in front of you, if you see wrong things happening, how are you going to discipline your children if you don't get angry? There needs to be a level of anger that they see in you so that they can fix their behavior. Anger is a healthy thing, but it has to be in moderation, which is why he actually breaks it down to classification. He says you've got three different kinds of people. And people that don't get angry at all, of course, that's not praiseworthy. People that get angry all the time, which of course is not praiseworthy at all, because that is, in many ways, can be worse sometimes than the first category. And then the second category is the medium, the Goldilocks zone, the happy medium, which is that you get angry sometimes, but you're able to control yourself and don't let it obscure your rationality. Yes. And then he goes into a discussion, which is very interesting, about why people get angry. He says that it's the removal of something. For example, it could be the removal of absolute necessities. I mean, for example, food, drink. If you're hungry and you need to eat, someone tries to take your food away, you're going to get angry. And this happens in the animal kingdom. It happens with human beings. It's a natural thing. And of course, there's a limit to that. But we're saying he mentions, it could be that you take something away that makes something convenient for someone. For example, a servant or something like that. You have a servant or a maid or a butler, and then it's been taken away from you. Something which, in the age of convenience today, the age of technology and convenience, is something which we need to know. Or he mentions that it could be something that you deem to be important. Like, for example, have books. People who like to read have books that they consider sentimental or very important to them. If that's to be taken away, the person gets angry. And he says that the way of dealing with those kinds of things is to be a minimalist, basically. To imagine yourself going on a journey and what would be the minimum thing that you would require. That in reality, these things are superfluous. You don't actually need those things. You don't need those things. Be a minimalist. And the more minimalistic you are in your reasoning, the more you are able to control your anger if certain things happen to you. And so this is one thing. And then he mentions the reason why people don't get angry or are able to control their anger. He says, those individuals who distract their minds with other things, for example, for the Muslim, it will be something like Tawheed itself. Tawheed, the monotheism. You can distract yourself with thinking about Allah's attributes, thinking about Allah's names and attributes, thinking about all these guys. You can distract yourself with that. And knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love anger, you to be angry and out of control. And so when he talks about the cure of anger, it's very interesting. He talks about you've got to explore the root cause. And he said there could be many root causes. He enumerates many root causes. If you think about it, psychoanalytically, yes? It could be self-conceit. Yeah, you could be deluded. It could be self-praise. You think that, well, I deserve this. How could this be taken away from me, right? Could be pride. You're arrogant. And therefore, how can he say this to me? How can he do this to me? Miserliness, which is bukhul, the idea of like, you know, I'm not going to give this guy my money. Ridicule. Like you enjoy to ridicule, put people down. Once again, that could be connected to pride. That you're just someone who's addicted to argumentation. It could be greed, that give me this, no, I want this. And he basically proposes the following. He says that for each of those sins, the cure of it is the opposite. So let me give you an easy example. Miserliness, feel bakhil. If you feel yourself finding it difficult to give money, then give charity, give even more charity. And the same things like, for example, self-praise, you have to start becoming modest and so on. But another thing is, he mentions, is that you've got to think about the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got to think about the fact that everything is written, so everything is meant to be. If you really believe in that, then you'll be okay. And so these are some of the examples and some of the points that he makes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you enjoyed that and you want to watch the next episode, click here.